News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. US President Joe Biden told the world on Tuesday the United States is not seeking a new Cold War with China, as he vowed to pivot from post-9/11 conflicts and take a global leadership role on crises from climate to the pandemic. Addressing the UN General Assembly for the first time as president, Biden promised to work to advance democracy and alliances despite friction with Europe over France's loss of a mega contract. The Biden administration has identified a rising and authoritarian China as the paramount challenge of the 21st century, but in his United Nations debut, he made clear he was not trying to sow divisions. "We are not seeking a new Cold War or a world divided into rigid blocks," Biden said. "The United States is ready to work with any nation that steps up and pursues peaceful resolution to share challenges, even if we have intense disagreement in other areas." Biden did not mention China by name, other than voicing alarm about human rights in Xinjiang, where experts say more than 1 million people from the Uyghur and other mostly Muslim populations are incarcerated. Biden declared himself to be the first US president in 20 years not to be running a war after his controversial pullout of troops from Afghanistan, where the Taliban swiftly took over. Instead, America is opening a new era of relentless diplomacy in which military power must be the tool of last resort, he said. "The mission must be clear and achievable, undertaken with informed consent of the American people, and whenever possible in partnership with our allies," Biden said from the UN rostrum, where previous US presidents, notably including George W. Bush, have pushed for military action. Opening the General Assembly, Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned of growing divisions between the United States and China and urged dialogue. "I fear our world is creeping towards two different sets of economic, trade, financial and technology rules, two divergent approaches in the development of artificial intelligence, and ultimately two different military and geopolitical strategies," Guterres said. "This is a recipe for trouble. It would be far less predictable than the Cold War," he said. The UN General Assembly is meeting in person for the first time in 2 years, but at limited capacity and with pandemic precautions. The measures include replacing the microphone after each speaker, likely welcome news for the 78-year-old Biden, who spoke after Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro, who defied guidance only to attend if vaccinated. Biden has called a virtual summit on Wednesday on defeating the pandemic and teased that he will announce additional commitments. He also said Washington would double financing on climate change, a key element in reaching an ambitious new accord in November at a UN conference in Glasgow, as temperatures and severe weather rise dangerously. Biden will end a busy diplomatic week with an unprecedented four-way summit at the White House with the leaders of Australia, India and Japan, the so-called Quad, widely seen as a united front against China. But Biden's efforts to shore up alliances have faced one sudden and strong hurdle: France. Paris recalled its ambassador to Washington in fury after Australia cancelled a multi-billion dollar contract for French conventional submarines in favor of US nuclear versions as part of a new alliance announced with Washington and London. French Foreign Minister Jean-Yves Le Drian has said he will not meet one-on-one in New York with US Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and has described Biden's diplomatic style as brutality. The White House appears confident it can calm the spat, with Biden set to speak by telephone to French President Emmanuel Macron, who is not attending UNGA. But German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas, who openly rejoiced in Biden's defeat of Donald Trump, voiced solidarity with France and called the submarine decision disappointing. "I was never under any illusion that we wouldn't have problems with the new American president," he told reporters. French President Emmanuel Macron discussed on Tuesday cooperating over the Indo-Pacific region with Prime Minister Narendra Modi as France deals with the fallout from Australia's cancellation of a $40 billion French submarine order. "The two leaders held a phone conversation on Tuesday," said a statement from Macron's office, during which they also discussed issues such as the crisis in Afghanistan. Last week, France recalled its ambassadors from the United States and Australia, after Australia cancelled its previous nuclear submarine deal with France. Australia said last week that it would scrap an earlier 2016 deal with France's naval group to build a fleet of conventional submarines and would instead build at least 8 nuclear-powered submarines with US and British technology after striking a trilateral security partnership. France called it a stab in the back. China, in turn, denounced a new Indo-Pacific security alliance between the United States, Britain, and Australia, warning of an intensified arms race in the region. The meeting of SAARC foreign ministers, which was scheduled to be held on September 25 in New York, has been cancelled due to lack of consent from the member countries over the participation of Afghanistan, a war-torn country that is now being governed by the Taliban, multiple diplomatic sources at the SAARC have confirmed. This comes after the Imran Khan-led Pakistan government demanded the member states to allow the Taliban regime in Afghanistan to send a representative at the South Asian Association for Regional Cooperation Foreign Ministers' annual meet, which was to take place on the sidelines of the 76th session of the UN General Assembly in New York. Pakistan's demand was unanimously opposed by all SAARC member countries, the sources said. The Pakistan government also wanted the SAARC chair, Nepal, to guarantee that the erstwhile Ashraf Ghani-led Afghan government will not represent Afghanistan at the SAARC meeting, diplomatic sources said. SAARC chair Nepal has refused to give any such guarantee to Pakistan or Taliban leadership, and hence the meeting stands cancelled, the sources confirmed. Last year, the meeting was conducted virtually due to the pandemic. SAARC comprises 8 member states: Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Bhutan, India, Maldives, Nepal, Pakistan, and Sri Lanka. States with observer status include Australia, China, the European Union, Iran, Japan, Mauritius, Myanmar, South Korea, and the United States. The Delhi police arrested 5 members of the Hindu Sena on Tuesday for allegedly vandalizing the official residence of AIMIM chief and Hyderabad MP Asaduddin Owaisi at Ashoka Road in the capital. Deputy Commissioner of Police New Delhi Deepak Yadav said 5 people were arrested for their alleged involvement in the incident. Police said they received information regarding the incident at around 5 p.m. and rushed to the spot. A senior police officer said a case has been registered against the accused at the Parliament Street police station. Police said although nobody was attacked or injured in the incident, public property was damaged, which is an offence. In a video clip on social media, State President of Hindu Sena Lalit Kumar said they went to Owaisi's residence to teach him a lesson as he speaks against Hindus at his rallies. In a series of tweets, Owaisi said, "My Delhi residence was vandalized today by radicalized goons. Their cowardice is well known, and as usual they came in a mob, not alone. They also chose a time when I was not home. They were armed with axes and sticks. They pelted stones at my house. My nameplate was destroyed. Raju, the caretaker of the house for the last 40 years, was assaulted. The mob shouted communal slogans and threatened to kill me. Raju's grandkids are living in fear now. Raju has filed a complaint with police. Hope action will be taken." The Hyderabad MP claimed that there were at least 13 people. 6 have been detained. "This is the third time that my residence has been attacked. Last time it was vandalized, Rajnath Singh was not only the Home Minister but also my neighbor. Election Commission HQ is right next door to my house. Parliament Street Police Station is right across my house. The Prime Minister's residence is 8 minutes away. If an MP's house is not safe, then what message is Amit Shah sending?" he asked. "PMO India preaches to the world how we must fight radicalization. Please tell who radicalized these goons. If these thugs think that this is going to scare me, they don't know Majlis and what we are made of. We will never stop our fight for justice," Owaisi wrote on Twitter. A video clip that went viral on social media showed some persons vandalizing the house. They broke the nameplate at the main gate of the property and also the glass of a window. National President of the Hindu Sena Vishnu Gupta said they were offended with the Hyderabad MP's anti-Hindu statements. The All India Majlis-e-Ittehadul Muslimin chief remains in the headlines by continuously giving anti-Hindu statements, and a case against him has already been registered in Uttar Pradesh, Gupta said. The Hindu Sena requests Owaisi not to give such statements, he added. The Meteorological Department has issued a warning for extremely bad weather in Delhi on Wednesday, with the possibility of waterlogging and disruption of traffic. It was a warm Tuesday in Delhi, with some parts of the national capital witnessing rain in the latter part of the day, leading to waterlogging and traffic snarls in a few areas. The Safdarjung Observatory, the official marker for the national capital, recorded 3.6 millimeters of rainfall till 5:30 p.m. Lodhi Road, the ridge area, Noida and Pitampura recorded 1 millimeter, 17.6 millimeters, 2 millimeter and 7 millimeter of rainfall, respectively, between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. There was a massive traffic jam on Rohtak Road owing to waterlogging on the Mundka underpass. Commuters also experienced traffic snarls in Central Delhi and Lutyens Delhi. The maximum temperature was recorded at 35.6 degrees Celsius, a notch above the season's average, while the minimum settled at 25.8 degrees Celsius, a degree above normal. Humidity levels oscillated between 89% and 55%. The India Meteorological Department has issued an orange alert for Wednesday and a yellow alert for Thursday, Saturday and Sunday. For Friday, it has issued a green alert. The IMD uses four color codes. Green means all is well. Yellow indicates severely bad weather. It also suggests that the weather could change for the worse, causing disruptions in the day-to-day activities. An orange alert is issued as a warning for extremely bad weather, with the potential of disruption in commute, with road and drain closures and interruption of power supply. Red is when extremely bad weather conditions are certainly going to disrupt travel and power and pose significant risk to life. The weatherman has forecast a generally cloudy sky for Wednesday, with the possibility of light rain or thunder showers. The maximum and minimum temperatures are likely to settle around 32 and 25 degrees Celsius respectively. The minimum temperature was 26.5 degrees Celsius on Monday, while the maximum was 35.8 degrees Celsius. Right everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening, stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.